Let us pray together. Lord of light, your word is a lamp unto our feet. As we read your word today, we seek your truth. May we listen with open hearts and open minds. Amen.
Our scripture lesson is from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5, and chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
I'll sit down. I think that's everybody for today. How's everybody doing? Good? Good? Have a good week? So what's coming up? Not next week, next Thursday.
Thanksgiving.
And then what happens after Thanksgiving? What's the next big holiday?
Christmas.
Hold on. We do. So that leads to a big question. What question do you get asked a lot after Thanksgiving and before Christmas? What do you want? So what do you want?
A dragon.
You want a dragon. Did you hear that? A dragon. So you gotta get on that. See, that's on Amazon.
A toy dragon.
Yes. What do you want?
Cars.
This is a pretty expensive list, Pastor Chris. You got dragons and cars. So that's always a big question, right? What do you want? The Pastor Chris is preaching today, and what does God want? Well, that's a tougher question, right?
You.
Well, we just heard from Micah, right? What does he want? He wants us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with him. What do you think that means?
I have no idea.
That's a very popular answer. Love. Well, you can't go wrong with that, right? The Bible tells us love is the greatest, right? Basically, when we hear to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly, well, to walk humbly with God. You know, a lot of people try to take credit for everything that they do, right? You see that a lot with people say, I did this, right? I did a great thing. But God's saying to be humble. God is saying to always give the praise to him, to always be respectful of other people, to always honor other people, to always be honest with other people, right? So it's important to keep in mind those values and keep in mind that that's what God always wants for us. He doesn't want toys, he doesn't want cars, he doesn't want any of those things. He wants us to always treat others with respect. He wants us always to be merciful and forgiving of others as he has been to us. All right, let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day, and we thank you for this time of year where we have Thanksgiving coming up and opportunity to be thankful for the many blessings you've given us, and also following that a few weeks later as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and be mindful throughout this holiday season of the values that you want us to always exhibit, that of being merciful and just and walking humbly with you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Thanks, Matt. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We are a bitterly divided country. There are two kinds of people in the world. Those who think it's okay to sing Christmas carols in November, and those who think you have to wait until December. And then there's a third kind of person, actually, the mean pastors who don't think you can sing Christmas songs until Christmas Eve. It's probably the one thing that I'm jeered for more than anything else is, why don't we sing more Christmas songs in December? I was at Wendy's 2 weeks ago with a friend of mine having lunch. And I said to him, we ought to write some good Thanksgiving songs that everyone will want to sing, play on the radio, we'll get rich. Because what were we hearing but do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. This was 2 weeks ago. It wasn't even Halloween yet. And we were hearing Christmas songs over the radio at Wendy's. So when is it too early to sing Christmas carols? Well, there's a Christmas carol that I want to share, at least the words of. I don't think I'll sing it, but I want to share the words of it for you because it might be somewhat appropriate for today. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Is it too soon to sing, O little town of Bethlehem? Might be by some standards, but it's appropriate because our prophet of the day is Micah. And Micah is from the town of Bethlehem. It's a small town. It's kind of a backwoodsy kind of a place. It's not Jerusalem, right? It's like Sioux City, Iowa, compared to New York City. There's the difference between Bethlehem. Sioux City, Iowa is where I'm from, for those of you who may not know. Sioux City is actually even a pretty decent-sized town, but it's nothing compared to the city of New York, L.A., Chicago. So what message comes out of a little town like Bethlehem? What is the main message that Micah has for the kings of Israel and Judah? Well, Micah's best known prophecy in his day was the one that talks about the destruction of Jerusalem, and that out of a small town like Bethlehem will come one who will lead the people of God back into God's ways. Which is a message that we normally would reserve for the season of Advent. And yet here we are, the second Sunday in November, talking about leaders coming from small towns. It's not what we would normally think. Usually when we think of powerful, popular people, we think that they come from big places, right? Our president has many properties in New York City. One of the most beloved of the presidents from way back when was from California. You know, they are from big places. They are noted people. It's not very often that someone comes out of a small town to lead a great nation. Of course, looking ahead, we know that Jesus of Nazareth is born in Bethlehem, and we believe that this prophecy of Micah is about him. Out of small places, out of places that are out of the way, cast out of mind, are often where God does some of the most important and impressive things. things. I want you to think about that as we begin to gear ourselves up for the season of Advent in a couple of weeks. But by far, the most well-known for us of prophecies for Micah are the second part of what Carol read for us this morning. What does God desire from us? Does God want burnt offerings, calves, a year old? Well, in Micah's day, that's what you would bring to God for a sacrifice. If you were going to the temple in Jerusalem, you would bring a burnt offering, a calf, a year old. If you happen to find your way into the book of Leviticus, you'll find it. It's in there, buried amongst things about eating a kosher diet and not wearing fibers mixed together of two cloths. There's the bell. What else? What's more extreme? It says, should you bring your firstborn? Should you sacrifice your child to God? Is that what God wants? Of course, Leviticus also talks about how that is not a practice that is allowed. And yet the kings of Judah at this time, it's exactly what they're doing. They're copying the practices of the other nations. They're offering their firstborn as sacrifices to try to appease God. Is that what God wants? Does God want thousands of burnt offerings? Right. How extravagant can you think about what you might do in devotion to God? That's what Micah is asking here. Does God want all of these over-the-top religious kinds of things? What does God really want? What's at the heart of what God wants? He comes right out and tells us, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Do justice, love mercy, or kindness as it is sometimes translated, and walk humbly with your God. This is a challenge for us, mostly because we can't always agree on what it is to do justice and love mercy. I started today's sermon by joking about how we are divided people because of whether you can sing Christmas carols or not, but we had a very, very divisive election on Tuesday. Things got pretty heated. I don't know how your local elections were, but here in Wyckoff, I had political mailings about people who live in our own neighborhoods here who are neighbors that I wouldn't show to my kids. Very nasty stuff. Deep disagreements. It's present at the local level, at the state level, certainly the national level. I was getting a pound of mail every day. I went to the mailbox yesterday and pulled out this tiny little piece of junk mail, and I thought maybe my mailman was taking a break, taking vacation or something. Where is all this stuff? It's a very divisive kind of a thing. And much of it boils down to, what is the meaning of justice? Well, some people believe that justice is social justice, a la, well, maybe Bernie Sanders or someone like that. You know, that's the only thing that justice can possibly mean. Others believe that perhaps justice is, well, equal justice, or justice as in criminal justice, or something along those lines. We have deep disagreements about everything, and there's a disagreement about this, too. So what does it mean to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. I actually think that perhaps the emphasis for us today maybe ought to be on the last part of that, to walk humbly with God. See, if we convince ourselves that we know all the right answers about what it is to do justice, and we seek to attack one another on the basis of that, then maybe we're missing out on the point of that last piece. Maybe the challenge for us in walking humbly with God is to also walk humbly with one another. Maybe the challenge in a divided, partisan world is to have enough humility to be able to listen to someone who defines things differently than we do. To imagine a reality in which maybe the person who disagrees with me might actually have it right. Which is incredibly challenging. Elections are really, really tough. They are for me, anyway, because so often I'm challenged to try to think about somebody else when I vote. Looking at the candidates through the eyes of someone who is different than I am, and to imagine, is the person that I'm casting a ballot for going to be good just for me or for everyone else? Which is a really hard thing to do. It's a really hard decision to make. And it's something that ought to give all of us a lot of pause, not just in terms of that, but in terms of everything that we do, because there is no aspect of our lives, there are very few decisions that we make that don't have some implication on the life of someone else. From the kind of purchases we make, thinking in terms of birthdays, got a couple of those coming up in my family, to Christmas, to what kind of car should you buy, you know, where should you shop, shop local, shop big box, to where is your retirement savings invested? What kind of companies are you supporting with your investment dollars? To what kinds of, you know, lawn care products are you putting into the earth? I mean, every aspect of our lives has some implication, not just for ourselves, but perhaps on people who are living in our world today somewhere else. Or perhaps our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids. The decisions that we make have a bearing on other people, not just on ourselves. So maybe, just maybe, the prophet Micah is trying to call people's attention to the fact that we are not individual people so much as we are connected with one another, with God as our king, with God as our head, with God as the one who is seeking to help us to turn ourselves towards this justice and mercy. It takes a lot of attention. It takes a lot of mindfulness to be able to live a life in this way. You can't really go on autopilot in making decisions if you're going to live according to God's ways. To do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. So, my friends, I think our challenge in light of what the prophet Micah is presenting us here with today is to be aware of the stranger, to be aware of the person whose lives might be impacted by our own lives in ways that we have trouble seeing. To do that with enough humility to recognize that we don't always have things right, that although we may be wise, there is someone else who is perhaps wiser than we are, that perhaps we have something to learn from the person who disagrees with us, who holds a view that is contrary to our own. To extend the grace of Christ to those. What a challenge. I think we'll find that if we live our lives in such a way, that we will be blessed. Maybe not in the conventional ways, but blessed with a peace that passes understanding, blessed with a gentleness, a sense of generosity towards others. What does the Lord require of you, Micah says, but to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we ask for your blessing to be with us as we seek to live lives of justice and mercy and humility. We pray that you would focus our eyes on Jesus Christ, born in the town of David at Bethlehem so many years ago. Flesh and blood, to teach us what it is to live this life of generosity towards others. Give us that example to live to, that in living it out, we might be example to others as well of what it is to be your disciples. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.